A warning for our listeners. This podcast contains graphic content, swearing, depictions of violence, drugs, sex, organized crime, torture, and murder. This may be unsuitable for our young listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to What a Kill podcast. I'm your host, JoJo. Today's episode is inspired to spread awareness. Thanks to World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, the International Network for the Prevention of Elder Abuse and the World Health Organization at the United Nations started World Elder Abuse Awareness Day in 2006 to raise awareness of elder abuse and neglect and the processes that caused it. Each year, WEAAD is observed June 15. I remember being flown out to Mexico to visit my grandmother and two of my aunts. I was 11 years old, and this was in 2003. And I was all alone. I was able to do whatever the heck I wanted, but I was a good girl. One of my favorite memories is going to the neighbor's pool. Another memory is meeting the neighbor's donkey. And I remember getting close to the donkey, and the neighbor had warned me. He said, "Don't get too close, because he'll kick you." And I remember thinking, "Well, aren't you endangering me with being here? You're endangering a child right now. Should I even be here?" And it's funny now that I think about it, being grown up, because I flew alone, I went to the pool alone. The only time I was supervised was when I went shopping with my grandmother or stayed at home with my grandmother. I remember coming back home and my mother was shocked to look at me. She said, "Why are you so dark?" I was so dark because of the sun. I told her, "Mom, it's sunny in Mexico. I was in the pool like every day." And she was so shocked because as a baby, I was very light skinned. I had light brown hair. So this surprised her a lot. I remember going back to school and the teacher was scanning the class and I noticed her notice me. And she looked at me surprised. She said, "What are you doing here?" And I remember being so offended and sad. I was like, does she not want me to be in her class or what's going on? I told her, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, where have you been?" I told her, "I was on vacation visiting my grandmother." She said, "The school wasn't on vacation." I just shrugged my shoulders and I was like, "I don't know, I took a vacation." The story for today is about Juana Barraza. She was born in Mexico on a Saturday, December 27, 1958. And I Googled that day to see what I could find that may have happened that day, just out of curiosity. And Google took me to takemeback.to. And on this day, under the sign of Capricorn, our US president was Dwight D. Eisenhower, a Republican. UK's prime minister was Harold Macmillan, a conservative. One of the top songs in the US was The Chipmunks Song by the Chipmunks. The number two R&B song was James Brown and the Famous Flames, Try Me. And one I wanted to mention was number six, Elvis Presley, One Night. One of UK's top five was It's Only Make-Believe by Conway Twitty. Two movies that were out was Murder by Contract, directed by Irving Lerner, and The Magician, directed by Ingmar Bergman. So Juana Barraza was the daughter of an alcoholic woman. At the age of 13, Juana was sold to an alcoholic man in exchange for three beers. Juana became pregnant, which led to an abortion, and then had one son. In total, eventually, she had four kids. Her firstborn was mugged and died due to the beatings right in front of her. Neurologists do claim that that was what drove her to kill, but that's still unknown. It's also unknown if Barraza was rescued by her stepfather's brother or her stepfather himself. Juana Barraza owned a home in the outskirts of Mexico City in El Estado de México. She was a luchadora, and she was nicknamed La Dama del Silencio, the Lady of Silence. Her persona had on a pink Power Ranger-like suit, she was rocking silver knee-high boots, and a pink and silver butterfly mask. A week before her arrest, she had an interview with Tele Azteca, and the interviewer asked, "Are you technical or rude?" Now, technical versus rude, technicals are trained and they follow the rules, whereas the rudos, they don't follow the rules and they do whatever they can to win in the ring. Her response to the interviewer was, "Ruda del corazón," rude from the bottom of my heart. His second question was, "Are you worse here in the ring or at home?" She giggled and replied, "Well, in both places." At the age of 35, she stopped wrestling due to a spinal injury. Later, criminologists claim that that was what drove her to kill due to not having the excitement in her life anymore. She is said to be about 5'8", but the author, Susana, is 5'5", and she did mention that she had to really look up at her, so she had to be over 6 feet. The police were looking for a male serial killer. Although witnesses reported the killer to be a woman wearing a wig and makeup, police couldn't fathom the idea of a woman being a serial killer. The latest victim on October 18, 2005, a 92-year-old woman was found strangled in her bedroom. The head of inquiry, Renato Sales, told press, urging women over 60 living alone to avoid talking to strangers, and urges the public to watch out for elderly relatives or neighbors accompanied by unfamiliar people. He denied a report that police had hired old women to loiter in shopping malls and parks to trap the killer. In October 2005, police swept the streets looking for a transgender sex worker as their killer. The killer wasn't found, but police still assumed that the killer is to be a transgender. Victims were women over the age of 60 living alone. They were bludgeoned or strangled and then robbed afterwards. Police reported evidence of abuse in multiple cases. Bernardo Batiz, chief prosecutor in Mexico City, profiled the killer as having, quote, a brilliant mind, being quite clever and careful. Police said the killer posed as a social worker and promised his victims a chance in welfare programs. They later hypothesized that there might be two killers involved. At one point, police were confused by three cases. Three different victims owned a famous painting by French artist Jean-Baptiste, Boy in Red Waistcoat. In November 2005, one case, a large woman in a red blouse, was seen leaving the home of a murdered woman. In January 2006, police checked fingerprints of bodies in the morgue, believing that the killer might have committed suicide. Later that month, on the 25th of January, Juana visited her last victim. After strangling her and leaving her for dead, a renter in the same complex saw the suspect fleeing the home. The renter found the woman lying on the floor dead, and he chased after the killer, calling out for police. Juana was arrested after fleeing that home of the 82-year-old woman that had been strangled with a stethoscope. The items confiscated were a stethoscope, pension forms, a card identifying her as a social worker. Prosecutors state having evidence linked to Barraza to at least 10 murders out of the 40 cases attributed to the killer. The wrestler confessed to murdering 4 women, including this last one where she was caught. She told reporters she was looking for laundry work at her last victim's home. Police searched Barraza's home and found an altar for La Santa Muerte, Buddha, and another saint that I am unfamiliar with. Disregarding Buddha and the other saint, prosecutors used La Santa Muerte as evidence against her due to the belief that only drug cartels and criminals worship La Santa Muerte. Barraza was tried in spring of 2008. Allegedly responsible for as many as 40 deaths. She admitted to only one and says her motive was lingering resentment regarding her own mother's treatment. Police had fragments matching her fingerprints to 11 crimes. The author mentions that before her arrest, police couldn't find fingerprints due to the lack of resources. But once after Barasa's arrest, suddenly they had all this evidence against her. Also, it's hard to say exactly how many she killed, since there are other killers arrested for similar cases. On March 31st, she was found guilty on 16 charges of murder, aggravated burglary, including 11 separate counts of murder. She was sentenced to 759 years in prison, but the maximum sentence under Mexican law is 60 years. But she went on to say in an interview, quote, "I had a good lawyer, and they were able to bring it down to 50 years in prison. Why do they have us here? The ones who truly didn't commit the crime, and the ones that truly did it, are still out there. Here in prison, I never ever in my life fought. Until recently, I had a fight with someone that crossed me. I fought, I landed some slaps, but that's it. So for me to say, ugh, I hit her, I made her bleed. No, I just slapped her a few times, but she was the first one that hit me. I have no reason to touch an old lady. I have many older ladies here in front of me. I even call one of them abuelita. She is so grand. If I was crazy, I would have killed her already." Unquote. Her days in prison consist of Friday walks with the elderly ladies. The other days, she sells quesadillas and is known as a good cook. Going to one of her interviews because of her spinal injury, it was difficult for her to walk. She needed two guards to hold her up. Barasa said, "Careful not to drop me." One officer said, "What if we did?" The interviewer noticed her turning around towards him, and her wrestling persona came out as she said, "I don't think you would dare." A couple of facts I researched: she was attracted to one of the luchadores dubbed Charles Manson, but she claims they kept it professional. A song was made inspired by her. And there was an episode of the 2010 Mexican TV series Mujeres Asesinas 3, a documentary in Instinto Asesino on Discovery en Español in 2010, and in another TV show in La Historia Detrás del Mito. And that's the story of Juana Barraza, La Mata Viejitas. I'm your host, Jojo, and thank you so much for listening to What a Kill podcast.